Before we do the sermon, I've got a trivia thing. I know I've probably read it dozens of times, and in Bible study last Wednesday, we all kind of thought, wow. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, how many people do you think actually saw God? Most people think just Moses. I mean, for years, I thought Moses was the only person that had ever seen God, and he saw God's backside. But did you know when they finally settled at the bottom of Mount Sinai and Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments, that shortly thereafter, because the Israelites didn't really believe, 70 elders from the tribes of Israel went up on Mount Sinai with Moses. And it says they saw God. They describe his feet as standing on something that was similar to the, like glass, it's like sapphire. And I thought, wow, like I said, I've read that a dozen times, and it just went right over my head, I guess. But 70 elders from the tribes of Israel saw God. Not just Moses, but 70 elders. Now, the Bible doesn't describe what exactly they saw. It talks about the feet, so you have to kind of wonder if they were like this, and that's all they saw. But it also says they ate and drank there on that mountain. So I thought, that's a neat little trivia thing. I need to tell the congregation about that. So I'm going to be reading from Jeremiah 1. This is 1 through 19. I think I'll start at 4. The first part of that is kind of the lineage and kind of tells you when all that stuff happened. It's more for historical purposes. So starting at verse 4, "Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God, truly, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a boy. For you shall go in to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. The word of the Lord came to me a second time, saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot tilted away from the north. And the Lord said to me, out of the north, disaster shall break out on all the inhabitants of the land. For now I am calling all the tribes of the kingdom of Israel of the north, says the Lord, and they shall come, and all of them shall set their thrones at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against all its surrounding walls, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them for all their wickedness in forsaking me. They have made offerings to other gods and worshiped the works of their own hands. But you gird up your loins, stand up, and tell them everything I command you. Do not break down before them, or I will break you before them. And I, for my part, have made you today a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze wall, against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its princes, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you." We've kind of been on that theme here for a few weeks. We started out talking about how things are in society today and how what was described back in the Old Testament is coming out today. And we talked about having hope and about things like that. And we're going to talk this morning about what you can accomplish if you trust God, let God into your heart, and let Him use you to speak to others. The three deadly words are I am only. You see that a lot. I am only. But just think about what you can accomplish if God is in you. I'm going to tell you a story about two children. The first one, young boy, he was born in mismatched parents. His dad was uneducated, a farmer. His mom was a teacher, educated. He was not real smart, they thought. Born in Port Huron, Michigan, they estimated his IQ was 81. He was withdrawn from school after 3 months because they thought he was a backwards person. He actually started school late because he was ill when he was young, had scarlet fever, respiratory diseases. He was going deaf. His emotional health was poor. He wasn't real good at showing his emotions. He was very stubborn, very individualistic. He liked mechanics. He liked to play with fire, actually burned his father's barn down. He wanted to one day be a scientist or a railroad mechanic. And everybody thought, this is not going to happen. The second child was a little bit the same, young girl. She was born of an alcoholic father. She had all kinds of illnesses. She had a back brace for a spinal defect. She was a daydreamer, had no vocational skills. She's another person that was very withdrawn, very erratic. They didn't think she would come, anything would come of her. Now the first person, the young man, even though they thought nothing would come of him, his name is Thomas Edison, one of the greatest inventors of our lifetime. And who'd have thought, if he'd have allowed them to convince him he wasn't going anywhere, I am only, some of the things we see today we probably wouldn't have. The young woman is Eleanor Roosevelt. They thought she'd never come to anything, but she became one of the greatest champions for the oppressed and the poor and the underprivileged. She was a great humanitarian woman and changed lives because she didn't let them convince her she wasn't going anywhere. Geologists will tell us that 3% of the Earth's water is actually on the surface where you can see it. 97% of the Earth's water is actually underground in this enormous reservoir. And I tell you that statistic because that's how we are as people. 3% of our personality is what other people see, is what's on the surface of us. 97% of your personality, your potential in life, is buried deep inside of you. And that's what needs to come out. But that's what's hidden by the I am only. Jeremiah told that to God. I am only a boy. What do you expect from me? I'm only a boy. God said, I don't want to hear that. Because I've got great things for you to do. And if you'll just let me use you, I will speak through you and we will accomplish great things. God said, I knew you in the womb. I knew what was going to happen. I knew your potential. And here it is. I have a plan for you. And he might as well be talking to any one of us, not just Jeremiah, because he has a plan for all of us. He knew you in the womb. He knew what was going to become of your life. And he wants you to accomplish great things for him, for Christianity. But so many of us are limited by those three words, I am only. I'm only a young boy. I'm only a young girl. I'm too old to do that. I don't know how to do that. Well, I'm only human. What do you expect from me? We need to get away from that I am only. There's a man named Harry Lipzig, a story in the Wall Street Journal. He's an attorney in New York, very successful law firm he had started many, many years ago. Henry Lipzig was 88 years old, and he decided he was going to sell his law firm, and he was going to start over again. He was going to start another little law firm, just him, and he was going to start representing clients. Hadn't been in a courtroom in years. His first client was a lady whose husband was killed by a drunk police officer. So she was suing the city of New York for potential earnings. City of New York thought, this is ridiculous. The man's 71 years old. What potential earnings could he possibly have? And they thought, this is crazy. This is not going anywhere. They didn't know they were going up against Henry Lipzig. And even though he was 88 years old, he fought for this woman and he actually won her $1.25 million because he wanted to do something for the people of New York. He wanted to start over, get away from this big law firm and start over and help people. And he was 88 years old. Now, what if he just said, well, I'm going to sell the law firm. I'm only an old man. I can't do anything. And gave up. This woman needed him. And he was there for her because he wanted to help others. Three men walking on a beach. They run across this lamp. They start cleaning it off and Jeannie pops out. Jeannie says, I'll grant each one of you a wish. So the first one steps up. He says, I want to be 10 times smarter than I am right now. Jeannie says, okay, you are now 10 times smarter. Next one steps up. He says, I want to be 100 times smarter than I am right now. Jeannie says, okay, you are now 100 times smarter. Third man says, I want to be 1,000 times smarter. Jeannie paused for a minute, pointed at the man, said, you are now a woman. We laugh at that, but did you know that two of the highest IQs ever recorded by standardized test were women? But we seem to still have this problem in our society, and it's getting better. We still have this problem in our society where there's some disparity between men and women. And women have a lot of potential. They're very smart people. We just need to listen to them. And they need to be able to get away from the I am only a woman. You can do just as much as any man can do. All you have to do is trust God, change your attitude from I am only, and do it. Do things. There's a story of a young teenage girl, little gal, 5 foot, 115 pounds, her and her mom at home one night. They heard a ruckus outside, so they went outside and looked out the window. A couple of men trying to break into their garage. This little teenage girl, 5 feet, 115 pounds, decides she's going to do something about it. She runs outside, tackles one of the men, holds him down. Her mom helps her tie him up with a dog leash to wait for the police. Now, this young teenage girl could have just as easily said, I'm only a little teenage girl. I can't do anything. I'll just call the police. But she didn't. She didn't limit herself to I am only. She got out there and did something and accomplished it because she knew she could do it. She trusted. That's the way we have to be. We are all in the same fight. Men, women, young, old, we're all in the same fight. And we all have the same potential to accomplish great things. Like, it's funny, Laverne and Shirley, TV show, when it was syndicated over in Thailand, because in Thailand, the women are still pretty much looked down upon. And they didn't want the women getting any ideas by watching Laverne and Shirley because they were pretty independent. So before the show would start, they would pop a slide up on the TV that would tell the viewers, the two women you are about to see escaped from an insane asylum. They wanted to make sure their women didn't think that they could accomplish the kinds of things Laverne and Shirley did. But women can. women can do as many things as men. If a woman were to walk up to you and say, I talk to my plants, what would you think? First thing pops into your head was she's out in the garden talking to her plants, right? She says, yeah. She says, I talk to my computer plant in Chicago and I talk to my textile plant in New York. She is a very successful woman. But we automatically assume differently. There's a lady named Ethel Armstead, elderly woman. She moves into a poor neighborhood, a high crime neighborhood, and soon discovers they're dealing drugs off of her front porch. She decides she's going to do something about it. She's not going to cower down like most of the people in these high crime, poor communities. So she convinces them to get off of her porch and take your drugs someplace else. Well, that worked out pretty good. They listened to her. So she goes after them again. She convinces them to leave her neighborhood. That worked out pretty good. In fact, because she stood up to them, they respected her. So much so that in the wintertime, they would come over and they would shovel her sidewalk and her driveway. And they would do little chores for her throughout the year because they respected her that much. And they even started calling her mom because she stood up to them. She didn't just cower back and say, I am only an elderly woman. What can I do? She stood up to them. And she even got them to help her build playgrounds on abandoned lots to help the community. She cleaned up the community because she got out there and did something. She didn't just say, I am only. God told Jeremiah, I knew you in the womb. I formed you in the womb. I knew you had great potential. And each one of us has great potential. Don't say to yourself, I am only. What can I do? Because you can do a lot of things if you just trust God. And if you're out there doing things for God. I know some people worry about, well, if I come up on somebody and start talking to them about Christ, or somebody starts asking me questions about church, Christianity, those kinds of things, what am I going to say? It's just like Jeremiah, just like Moses. What am I going to say? I'm not a big talker. I don't know what to say to people. But if you'll trust God to put the words in your mouth, just like the verses says, I touched your mouth and I put my words in there. If you will let God put his words in your mouth, you can speak to those people and you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about what you're saying. You just say it. Let God use you as a vessel for him to speak. That's what ministers are. Ministers are vessels for God to speak to you. I pray all the time that the words that come from me to you on Sunday morning are his words, not mine. Because he knows somebody in the congregation, maybe several people in the congregation, need to hear what I'm talking about, what he's talking about through me. And we can all be that way. We all have the ability to talk to others, to be a messenger for God, if we just get away from the I am only and get away from that idea that we can't do anything, because we can. We can do great things. Norman Vincent Peale, he wrote quite a few motivational books. He tells a story about a young boy, had poor grades. He was not very well controlled, to the point where the teacher sent him to the superintendent's office, said, I want him expelled. He's disrupting my class. The superintendent closed the door and started talking to Mike. He didn't talk about expulsion or punishment or those kinds of things. He said, Mike, let me see your hands. Mike held his hands out. He says, you know, you've got nice, long, slender fingers. even though you're a stocky little boy, you have nice, long, slender fingers. He says, I think you'd be a great surgeon. I really think you'd be a great surgeon. He encouraged him, this young, disruptive, poor grade boy, encouraged him by telling him, I think you would make a great surgeon. And that turned that kid's life around. He actually became a great surgeon because somebody took the time to sit down and talk to him and encourage him. And that's what we are meant to do, is to encourage others, to help them understand God's love, God's mercy, to help them understand God has a plan for you, and be positive and encouraging. Don't be negative about those things. God has a plan for you. There's a group of children in a classroom, 6, 7 years old. They're playing with Play-Doh. Everybody remembers Play-Doh. And this little girl had fashioned this little figure with wings, and she showed it to the class. She says, look at my angel. The kids in the class thought, well, that's neat. That's cool. Then she took that angel she'd made and put it back into a ball. And then she held that ball out there. She says, now what do you see? Well, everybody's like, well, that's a ball. She goes, no, that's a hiding angel. And that's how it is with us. We are hiding angels. I've talked about it before. It's been a while. But angels are not necessarily just from heaven. You can be an angel to somebody in need. You can be that hidden angel helping somebody else or saying the right thing to somebody else. You can be there for them. We just have to realize that that's who we are, to bring out that 97%, to bring out that hidden angel, to help others to understand. In Ephesians, it says, you are God's masterpiece. That's a pretty profound idea. We are God's masterpiece. God doesn't make anything bad. God makes things good. It's humanity that makes it bad. You are God's masterpiece. You can do great things. You just have to believe that. You can be a Simon Peter. You can be Paul or Mary Magdalene. You can be those people. You can do great things. You are a child of God, a masterpiece. All we have to do is get rid of the notion that I am only, and do it for God. Amen?